In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christos Anesti. We are accustomed to saying, and I completely agree with it, by the way, I say it frequently, that the beauty of Christianity is that it conquers everything. We know that, right? It conquers death, conquers pain, conquers suffering. But every difficult circumstance in life, everything that throws us out of kilter, even just a little bit, it seems like that Christianity is the answer. And that's why it's so beautiful to gather here today as part of the body of Christ and to be Christian. And I know we've probably thought in our own lives and in moments of despair about how Christianity does conquer all of these elements of life, pain and suffering, etc. But have you ever thought about this? That Christianity is also the antidote to skepticism. Now, we live in very skeptical times, maybe even cynical times, and I think we can all agree with that. And you can just open the news any day and find out about that. The head of the NSA swears before Congress that they're not collecting data on Americans, and then a whistleblower reveals that that's all a big lie. It goes on and on. This will be on the internet. I hope the NSA doesn't target me after saying that. But it's true. We live in very skeptical, cynical times. We can't believe anything that comes out of anybody's mouth, seemingly. Are these days worse than bygone days? I don't know. I grew up and watched my brother go off to Vietnam, only to find out that the Gulf of Tonkin was a little battle, the first battle, and then the second Gulf of Tonkin was totally fabricated, and watched him come back 100% disabled from Vietnam. I'm not really sure if we have more reason to be cynical and skeptical now than in bygone days. My suspicion is that human beings have always been skeptical. That's part of our fallen nature, perhaps. Maybe it's just part of our nature anyway. Maybe that's why Adam and Eve couldn't help themselves. We are inquiring. We are not passive creatures. And the church in her wisdom, knowing that we are skeptical beings, wants to make sure that when something is really important and wants to make sure that when there's something that we need to know is absolutely true, the church emphasizes these certain things over and over again. We are now in the period of the resurrection, right? And just think about the readings that have been put right before us. At the resurrection service, we read the identical gospel reading that was read this morning. And then the next day at Agape Vespers, we have the first part of the Doubting Thomas episode. And then the Sunday after that, in Orthros, we have the Great Commission from Matthew 28 and that resurrectional appearance. And then we have the completion of the Doubting Thomas episode. Every week, as often as possible, the church drives home the point to us that this resurrection is real. And the church wants us to know, skeptical though we might be, that no, this is the truth. It really did happen, and it can, will, and does save your life. And so the church was ready for us skeptics. And let me simply say that by way of confession to you, I'm a skeptical person. I think I was raised in a very skeptical environment. My dad, may he rest in peace, used to tell me, I want to raise you to be a constructive cynic. I'm not really sure that that was a good goal of his or not, but I have been a skeptical person my whole life, and I've been involved in things where I have every reason to be skeptical. Those of you who have ever served in the military, theoretically, and been involved in any episode that made it to national or international news, you know that by the time that episode makes it to the news, it's way different than what you experienced. So I'm skeptical. And I will confess to you that there was a time in my life I was even skeptical about being a Christian. Is this really for real? How do you know? So I get being skeptical. But I would also tell you that today I am somebody that absolutely is convicted of the truth of the resurrection, of the power of Jesus Christ to change lives. And I say that not because of something I read in a book or anything else. I say it because it's happening in my own life. It's happening in my own life right now, that Jesus Christ continues to work in my life, and I continue to grow closer to Him, God willing, thank God, I should say, praise God, with every passing year. And obviously, as a priest, then I also have the opportunity to see Christ at work in other people's lives. And so I am a skeptic, by nature, but a Christian, thank God, by adoption. But this morning, as we think about being skeptical and skepticism, here is the truth, is that the truth of Christianity can stand the test of any skeptic. It has to be a skeptic who's thinking, not somebody who's just rattling off talking points, but Christianity stands the test of any skeptic. And that includes the resurrection. So we just review some things we've talked about in the past, but they're worth reviewing. We know that at least two, if not three, of the evangelists met a martyr's death, and that many of the apostles whom you read about in the Gospels and then in the epistles, the authors of the epistles themselves, they end their life as martyrs as well. And that's a powerful testimony, right? Imagine now if it were all made up and they're getting ready to be martyred and they said, well, just deny everything that you wrote. Just deny everything you've been telling people about. And they said, well, how can I deny it? I saw it with my own eyes. It's changed me. It's absolutely true. That's a very powerful testimony, perhaps the most powerful in the world. I can't imagine anything greater than that. And we know that as we look at the construction of the Gospels, that they don't all quite match up, and that's what we would expect if the truth were being told. Only in a conspiracy would you have every data point and word line up exactly. And the church even struggles to make sure that we are using the most ancient texts possible. Flaws and all, the church did not go back and correct grammar or run on sentences or confusing thoughts. The church wants us to have the most ancient text possible so that we can know that the resurrection is real. Now here's something that we haven't talked about in the past, but something worth considering. You know, people will say, well, I don't know, I've never seen anything like the resurrection before, so how can I possibly know? I haven't seen it with my own eyes. And maybe other people have written about this, I don't know, and you might think this idea is a bit crazy, but look up at the moon. The moon is orbiting the Earth. And by all accounts, it happened when the Earth was still in a semi-solid state and there was a collision with another planetary body. This is the latest theory. And today we have the Earth and the moon, with the moon going around the Earth in perfect harmony. Now, I don't think any one of us here has ever witnessed a planetary collision. How could we know it's true? Well, we look up at the moon, and the moon is there. And so in the same way, yes, I did not witness the resurrection, but I see the power of the resurrection all around me when I deal with faithful Christians. I know that every generation before us has had untold numbers of faithful Christians whose lives were changed by the power of the resurrection. And tragically, in past generations, and even in our own generation, there are Christians who choose martyrdom over denial because they are absolutely convinced through their own experience, that the resurrection is truth. Now, if you're a secular person, a person completely divorced from Christianity, from religion, skepticism has a logical consequence. Skepticism's consequence is cynicism, and then hopelessness and despair, eventually nihilism. That's it. That's the only way to go. But for the Christian, and remember, Christianity conquers everything. For the Christian, there's power in skepticism. When we doubt our faith and have to look at it even closer and have to learn more about it, it makes our faith surer and more solid. It gives us the capacity to then explain our faith not only to ourselves but to others. Our skepticism leads to deeper understanding and to actually being better evangelists. And if that's not enough, my skepticism, your skepticism, compels each one of us then to negotiate the faith on our own terms. Yes, we're all part of the church. Yes, we all have a tradition to which we conform, but each one of us knows Jesus differently because each one of us is unique. And I arrive at my unique faith only when I have the courage to doubt what's been told me so that I can then embrace it for myself. And it really shouldn't be a surprise that skepticism and Christianity go hand in hand, because Christianity ultimately is the only real truth that we can count on in this world. The truth of the gospel is the only real truth. Take everything else that's being told to us today, whether it's by a celebrity or a political figure or a media figure, it doesn't matter. Start peeling away what they say, and 99 out of 100 times, we reach emptiness. But start peeling away at the layers of the gospel, start peeling away at the teachings of the church, and the more we peel, the closer we get to the truth. And we see, yes, this is all real. Yes, for 2,000 years, people haven't been kidding one another. For 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been saving lives. So as we consider what it means to be a Christian in the modern era and how it is that we can share our faith with others, I would say one of the greatest ways for us to plug into the vibe of our times is to embrace skepticism and to let the skeptics among us know that they have a positive place to direct their skepticism. And it's here at the church. Take a good hard look. At Christianity and the Christian message, take a good hard look at Orthodox Christianity, because the more you look, the more truth you get. Yes, sometimes we're skeptical, but remember what Jesus says to the father whose son has the demon that cannot be cast out by the apostles. I should say what the father says to Jesus. He says what? I believe. Help my unbelief. And yes, yes, that is a prayer that is answered. Yes, Jesus Christ will help our unbelief. Now, a while back, we preached a sermon on labels and objectifying versus personhood, objects versus persons. And I shared with you in that sermon that I'm not into labels. I don't. That sounds like a very 60s thing to say, but it's true. I don't like labeling people, even though I know as a fallen human I tend to do it. But it's not good to affix labels to people, But I want to make an exception this morning, because what do you call somebody who is at the same time rooted in skepticism but rooted in faith? What do you call somebody who's not afraid to doubt because they know that those doubts will take them further into the truth? What do you call somebody who has the courage to question the resurrection only to find out that the resurrection is true and can and does change our life? Well, we know exactly what we call that person. We call that person a Christian.